Well, today's message is called Overcoming Offenses. And I seem to teach on this a lot because as the mom of this house, as the elder senior pastor of this house, I get to see and I get to have an opportunity to see some of you get greatly offended. And I hear of offenses and I get to live with offenses day in and day out. How many of you in here have never been offended? Yeah, that was a joke. Yeah, okay. Of course we've been offended. And we will be offenders. We will offend and we will be offended. And the Lord knew this, and that's why he speaks a lot about it. And this is actually a really big topic, but I'm only going to take one session with you today. But I want to give you some tools. I want to give you some things that you can put in your faith belt, that you can pull out, that when you have the opportunity to take an offense, that you can use it so that you can just bypass the offense and keep going in the day. Does that sound good? I don't know about you, but I'm married to a man. Yeah. And he is, you know, he thinks he's John Wayne's son. And he had no idea he was married Betty Friedman's daughter. Now, some of you don't know who Betty Friedman was, but she started the Women's Liberation Movement. So we've got John Wayne and Betty Friedman married. So there's big opposites here. And so obviously Jim and I had to take quite a journey in learning the Word of God, and we are still on it, and learning how to function and actually have a successful marriage because we had a lot of failures before we found Jesus and we found each other. And so a lot of this is just from life experience, but let's go to the Word this morning. And Eleanor, you did leave me your glasses. Thank you. And let's look at what God has to say. But before we do, I want to just read you a little comment about offenses. I thought that Winston Churchill was an absolute brilliant orator. Now, y'all know who Winston Churchill was, right? How many of you don't know who Winston Churchill was? Look at you. Are you the cutest things in the world? What planet have you been from? Winston Churchill was a prime minister of England during World War II. And he was famous, and you know, he's the guy with the big cigar. We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them in the air. We'll fight them everywhere. Never give up, never give up, never give up. You know, the big guy with the big, you know, double chins and the bulldog, Winston. Yeah, okay, Winston, how many of, I know that was just an amazing, whatever, okay. But Winston Churchill was famous for his quips, and he was constantly offending, and he was constantly being offended. So I just thought I'd just read you a couple of them. Bessie Baddeck said to him when he was inebriated one night, because he was prime minister and he was famous, so when he got drunk and if he was out and about, everybody knew about it. She said, "Sir, you are drunk." And Winston said, "Madam, you are ugly. In the morning," oh, he's not done. "In the morning, I shall be sober, but you shall still be ugly." Yeah. Here's another one. Nancy Astor, Lady Astor said to him, "Sir, if you were my husband, I would give you poison." Churchill said, without even a blink of the eye, "If I were your husband, I would take it." Winston, what is an offense? The word comes from the Greek word skandalon, which means the movable stick or the finger of a trap. A stick, a trap, a snare. You ever made a little box and you had that little stick that kept it up, and then you put the food under the box and then you pulled this trap and the box came down and the bird you were trying to catch flew away? Did you ever make one of those traps? Right, well, that's what this was. And the word skandalon means a bait stick. It's the movable stick or trigger of a trap, a snare, any impediment placed in the way causing one to stumble. A side slip, a lapse, an error. It can be intentional or unintentional. A fault, a fall, a sin, a trespass. So an offense is something that's going to slip you up and trip you up and keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. Here's the Webster's Dictionary definition of an offense. Webster says a breach of a moral or social code, a gap, a rift in a solid structure, a disruption of friendly relations, a tearing or a rent. That which was whole has now become divided. So we see that an offense is a bait stick. It's something that is thrown in our way to trip us up, to get us off the narrow road, to get us off the trail, to get us off the walk with Him, to get us into the flesh and get us out of walking in the Spirit. And we will all be offended. Now let's see what the Word has to say about it. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said to His disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." It's impossible for offenses that no offenses should come. In other words, you are going to have offenses on the planet. It's a fallen planet. It's under a fallen system. Remember when we've been teaching on God's economic recovery program that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven, there's two kingdoms operating simultaneously. When we got born again, we got taken out of the kingdom of darkness and we got deposited into the kingdom of God. But we've got to learn how to manifest and walk in the kingdom of God, or we'll stay in the flesh, the natural kingdom that has fallen, and we will not have the benefit and the blessing of all the resources that God wants to give us when we walk in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of heaven by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, so he says they're going to come. In Philippians 1:10, it says, and Paul writes to the church, he says, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Let's just go there. Turn with me to Philippians, and then we're going to be in Matthew for a while. So Philippians is in the New Testament. And Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, Philippians. It's on page 1802 in my Bible. Philippians, and if you go there in chapter 1, it says in verse 9 in chapter 1, "And this I pray." So Paul is praying for the church at Philippi. This is a prayer. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God." So Paul says, I want you to grow in your love, and I want you to approve the things that are excellent, and I want you to walk in such a way that you do not give offense. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could actually walk in our marriages without giving offense? How many of you have ever offended your husband? Man, I know every button on that man. I can just push it and send him right to the man cave. Then I want him to come out and play with me, and he won't. We know how to give offense, and we know how to take offense. As a matter of fact, we live in a culture that is so touchy and so fretful and so absolutely, completely schizophrenic, that we have all of these things that are politically incorrect. We have people on trial for words they said 30 years ago. I'm glad I'm not on trial for words I said 30 years ago, because I dropped some bombs that I'd probably get in a lot of trouble for today, and so would you, and you know it. Unforgiving, relentless, critical, picking each other apart, and always offended. The Democrats are offended at the Republicans. The Republicans are offended at the Democrats. And the Libertarians are offended at everybody. So we got a mess in this nation. We're not in unity. Now, why is this so important? Because when there is an offense, it causes that which was whole to become divided. Now, why is this important? Because in the kingdom of God, right over here, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, they are used interchangeably. God has a mission statement. He is reconciling a universe back to himself. And the last thing that's going to happen in this reconciliation program, which we are now under, we have been redeemed, We've been reconciled back to the Father through Jesus Christ, and now he's restoring us. So in this restoration process that he's in, he is going to, at the very end of it all, fill all and be in all. So there's going to be absolute and complete unity, and God is going to absolutely and completely be in everything in his creation. There will be no breach, there'll be no rebellion, there'll be no sin, there'll be no evil, there'll be no darkness. Are you with me? So God is on this restoration program, and he's using the church, earth side, to bring unity and to bring power, because in unity there is power, because watch what Jesus says. Now, when we talk about this, we have to look at biblical principles. These are kingdom of God principles. So put on your thinking caps. An offense doesn't just come your way because, you know, Satan just wants to, you know, just get on your last nerve. He is out to do something in your marriage, in your family, on your job, in your church. Everything that you're doing, he wants to divide and conquer, because this is what Jesus said about unity and division. Proverbs 18:19 says, well, let me just go there. John 17, let's just go to John 17. I'll come back to Proverbs. Did you bring your Bibles? How many of you have real Bibles here? Hold them up. Let me see them. Look at that. How many of you have electronic Bibles? Phones, yeah. John chapter 17. Verse 21 says, Jesus praying. Last prayer he prayed, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. 22,000 years later from this prayer. So this is prayer is for you and I. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be, they may be one. They may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. So Jesus is praying for this unity. He's saying, Lord, let them, Father, let the church be one. Let it be a whole unit. Let it not be separated and divided, but let it be one. As you and I are one, as I do nothing against your will, that everything I do, I exist to complete your will on this earth, Father. Jesus said, I do nothing except that which I hear the Father tell me to do. He was absolutely one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, Jesus the King, God the Father do not have arguments and do not have problems jockeying for a position in heaven. They are one. The angels that did not rebel against the Lord are one. If you had two angels on this planet and one was ruling the nations and the other was sweeping the street, they would be content and they would absolutely have no problem with their two jobs. Because it's not about them, it's about the Father's will. They are one. God is in them and working through them. Are you with me? Satan, who was Lucifer, rebelled against the Father and he said, I will be like God apart from God. It's called rebellion. It's called sin. It's disunity and rebellion. And when that happened, he broke away from God. And when you separate from God, that's the definition for death. Death is not a ceasing to exist. Spiritual death in the Word of God is separation from God. So God wants to join us to him. Why? Because he's life. He's the life giver. He's got the Zoe life. He's got life that exists in and by itself. It's like that joke that I heard about this scientist having an argument with God. And he was a clonist, and he was a microbiologist, and he was cloning. And he came up to God, and he said, now, God, you know, we really don't need you anymore because we can make anything. We can clone anything. As a matter of fact, God, I'd just like to have a little contest with you. Let's just see who can make what. This prideful scientist having a conversation with God. And God said, all right, let's go ahead and do it. And the scientist began to scoop up the dirt. And God said, oh no, you can't use the dirt. You got to make your own. God is the giver of life. When we separate from him, we lose life. And Satan has already separated from him. His kingdom of darkness wants to draw us away from God. He can't keep us unsaved, but if he can divide and conquer us, this is what Jesus said about disunity. Luke 11. But he knowing their thoughts, Luke 11, verse 17, he knowing their thoughts said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house cannot stand. So he understands, Jesus teaching us about the kingdom principles. He sees the darkness. You and I don't see it. He understands. He's been to heaven. He's ruled heaven. He is the Word of God. He came down so that he could show us what God is like, so that you and I could have the penny drop in these little brains of ours made in the image of God, and we could just finally go, oh, I see. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. And oh, I'm starting to get it now. You mean there's laws operating here. There are things operating in this world that are operating very strategically in my life. And if the enemy can divide me away from my husband, he'll put a wedge in our marriage, and before long, we won't have one. If the enemy can divide me away from my church, he'll put a wedge in our hearts, and before long, we'll be out of there and we'll be separated from destiny and from where life is for us if God placed you in a church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He put this wedge between friends so that when you were once best friends with somebody and you just loved them and they loved you, but oh, something happened, and you know what? It wasn't dealt with, and before you know it, there's this wedge, and now you're just not as close as you were. The years go by and you just kind of move away, separate from each other. And instead of having this rich relationship that God has ordained, it's gone because of offenses. So this is a very strategic and serious topic, because you will be offended. You'll be offended in your marriages. You'll be offended with your children. You'll be offended with your friends. You'll be offended in this church. You will be offended about everything you can be offended about. And, my darlings, we will also be the offenders. And we will offend other people. Not meaning to sometimes. Innocent, just saying something stupid. Or saying something that we meant nothing by it, but they took it the wrong way. And they get an offense. So how do we deal with this problem? Well, let's talk about what causes offenses before we get into what to do. Many things cause offenses. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. By pride comes nothing but strife. So when there is strife in a situation, when there is strife and contention in a situation, it is caused by pride. I'm going to say it again, and you're going to say it with me. When there is strife and contention in a situation, it is caused, according to this verse, it's caused by pride. Pride. Now, what is pride? Independent, selfish desires. Independent, remember, Satan is the originator of pride. Independent, remember, God is making us interdependent on him and on each other, right? Independent says, I don't need you. I don't want you. I'm separating from you. Independent, self-centered, sin-centered desires, not God-centered. So when I am operating in an independent, self-centered attitude or spirit, I'm operating in pride. Are you with me? And that's going to cause strife and offense and contention. Well, I don't need you. Go ahead and leave. Who said I ever needed you? Oh, my. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I've taught you this so many times, and if you heard it a million times, forgive me, but I heard it from Alan Platt, and I guess the penny dropped for me, and I never forgot it, so I've repeated it for the last 10 years. But there's two ways you and I can live. So if you got your pen, if you haven't heard this, write it down. If you have heard it, then just, you've probably got it marked somewhere in your Bible. But I think it bears repeating because it's brilliant. I didn't come up with this. Alan Platt did. He's a great teacher. There's two words. There is reactive. And write these letters down. R-E-A-C-T-I-V-E. Reactive. The word reactive means to be on the defensive. When I react to something, I am it's already happened, and I am responding to it in a defensive mode. Reactive, R-E-A-C-T-I-V-E. When I live a reactionary life, I am always responding to what has been done. I am responding to what's already happened. I'm reacting. Are you with me? I am in opposition. I live a life on the defensive. I have a chip on my shoulder. My walls are up. My defense mechanisms are on ready. And I'm in a position of self-defense. I'm ready for it. That's a reactionary life. Now, the way that God wants me to live is not reactive. He doesn't want me reacting to things. He wants me creative. He wants me creating the situation. He's a creative God. He's not a reactive God. Satan's reactive. God is creative. God made everything. And God says, I've made you in my image, and I want you to create. I don't want you living on the defensive. I don't want you living with your walls up, your defense mechanisms out, the chip on your shoulder, and you don't trust anybody. I want you to be able to walk into a space and go wherever you go. You bring the kingdom of God, and you're bringing the creative power of God and heaven with you. You are creating the situation, not reacting to it. Are you with me? Jesus created. Jesus walked into a room. And he could tell when people needed to be healed. And he brought the creative power of healing. Jesus came and he fed 5,000 men. And who knows if there were women and children. I don't think there were, because I think there would have been food. He created. He creates. He brings life. So you've written reactive, R-E-A-C-T-I-V-E. Now write creative, C-R-E-A-T-I-V-E. So you can live reactive or you can live creative. Creative simply means that God desires to reproduce his life through me. He's creating through me, always setting the atmosphere, not responding to it, but coming into a negative atmosphere. And instead of that atmosphere overwhelming me, I out-influence the influencers and I overwhelm the negative and bring the good of God in. Are you with me? It's what Jesus did, overcoming evil with good. So if you look at the two words, reactive and creative. Reactive is demonic. Creative is walking in the spirit, because God wants me to create the situation, not react to it. The only difference between these two words is where the C is. Because the reactive, the C is in the middle. Creative, because they're the same letters, the C is in the beginning. So when I put Jesus Christ at the very beginning of everything in my life, I'm going to start living a creative life. It's how you see it. Listen, and I've said this so many times, it's how you see it. It's where the C is. Is it in the middle of your life or is it at the beginning? When you spit at me, you don't make me mad. You make me wet. Listen, when you spit at me, you don't make me mad. You make me wet. The mad was already in me, and it just reacted out. Are you with me? You see, an offense will try us and test us and show us what's in us. And God says, okay, you got the old stuff in you, but we're working that old stuff out. And you used to be easily offended, and you used to be in an attitude. And if I spit at you, you'd spit back at me, or you'd swing at me. But that's not how we are anymore, because that's not the kingdom, and that's not the women of God. We are a class act like our Father. We know something, so we don't have to prove anything. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to get in a fight with anybody. We don't have to do anything but just be a class act like our dad. But there are some things we got to see so that we can get a hold of ourselves and not react, but create a different situation when strife and contention comes at us. Are you with me? Okay, so here we go. So God wants me to live creatively. Proverbs 16, 32 through 33 says, "She who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And she who rules her spirit, than she who takes a city. Now, I put the feminine in there because it's both of us. But she who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Speaking of warriors, hi-ya! You know, all of these movies where the woman is now suddenly this buff warrior, you know, like Hunger Games and all the others, you know, Xena, Princess Warrior and all those. Listen, we don't have to go to get a black belt in karate to be mighty, strong warriors in the kingdom. But we do have to learn how to rule our spirit. And that means that my emotions, that means my mouth, my words, my mind, my thoughts, my actions are under submission and under control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because when I begin to allow myself to come under that jurisdiction, now I'm powerful in the Spirit. And that's where the power is. Because this is not about flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. There is an invisible war going on, and you and I had better get savvy about this, girls, or you're going to be buffeted and you're going to be back and forth, up and down, mad and happy if you don't get this. And you're going to ruin days when God doesn't want you to ruin days. He wants you to create in your days the kingdom of heaven in your homes and in your place of influence, okay? So let's look at some things. So we've looked at about being reactive or creative. It's how you see it. So how do we become offended? Well, excuse me, how do we not become offended? How do we not take an offense? I'm just going to give you two things, and then we're going to look at, okay, now I've offended somebody. How do I walk through that? Okay, now somebody's offended me. How do I walk through that? All right, so this is the last thing I'm going to give you about information, then we're going to look at the how-tos, okay? So we've seen that God wants us to live creatively. Satan wants us to live reactively, right? We've seen that unity is a big deal. It's a very, very big deal, because divided we fall, united we stand. In every principality, in every situation of your life, united you're going to fall, divided you're going to stand. We're better together than we are apart. He did not create us to be alone. He created us to be one unit, one with him, right? That's why the family came. Man and woman, the two shall become one flesh, right? Then the family came. And then from the family came tribes. And from tribes came nations. And from nations came the world. But even the Lord said that we are made out of one blood. We are still one race, the human race, are we not? We may have different colors, different exterior paint, and different, you know, landscaping, but we all have the same blood. There's two models, male and female. That is it. We may be big, small, fat, skinny, old, young, black, white, green, purple, polka dot. I don't know what we may be, but we only got one blood, and there's only two models. That's it. So, how do I not become offended? So much on this, but I'm just going to give you two things today. Just two things. Number one, I'm going to have to be long fused. I'm going to have a very long fuse. Now, do you know what that means? You ever seen a stick of dynamite? And you know, you're watching an action movie, like cowboys and aliens, and they're going to blow up the spaceship. And they got this long fuse on this stick of dynamite, and they got to put that they got to light that fuse, and they got this long fuse so they can get out and they can escape that spaceship so that they aren't going to get blown up. Long fuse. But oh my gosh, the fuse has been cut short, and they got a short fuse, and they got to jump off that spaceship because if they don't, they're going to blow up. Long fuse, right? Long fuse. Love is the answer to this. Because it says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, it says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. So how do I not become offended? I got to come under the authority of the love of God. So I'm going to give you two things today. The first one, love is long-suffering. Long-suffering. That's the first list, first of the list. There's a long list of what love is, okay? What is long-suffering? The ability to put up with adverse circumstances without quitting or taking on a spirit of retaliation. you can be steadfast and consistent under extreme pressure. Steadfast and consistent under extreme pressure. Steadfast and consistent under extreme pressure. Oh, he's doing it again. Extreme pressure. Oh, she did it again. That child, is she ever going to get this right? Steadfast and consistent under extreme pressure. Are you hearing me? This is long suffering. You can keep going no matter what. It describes a person who has the power to exercise revenge, but instead exercises restraint. So you could lash out. Oh, you could go over to the reactive side, but you got your C at the beginning now, and you're over on the creative side. And yeah, you could just tell them, you could cut them to shreds, but you choose to step back, take a breath, a big one, smile, and say, okay, well, maybe we need to talk about this later, and walk away from the fight. Choose your battles, girls. Is it worth getting divided over? Is it worth ruining a day over? Is it worth it? No. The answer is no. The answer is hell no. Hell has everything to do with this. And hell no. Are you hearing me? Hell no. You are not going to get me over in the reactive side of this. I am long suffering. I'm going to shut up and I'm going to put up and I'm going to pray and I am not going to open my mouth and I'm not going to blow this thing because I know where this could go. Number two, just two things today. Refuse to be easily provoked. You do not take into account a wrong suffered. What does that mean? Means love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It will not be easily exasperated, frustrated, or stirred up. I like that, stirred up. You ever had somebody say something to you and just instantly you're up? Man, I am riled now. I'm waiting. I'm biding my time. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say back. We've drawn the line in the sand. The guns are out, and mine are fully loaded. You see, when you're not easily provoked, when you don't take into account a wrong suffered, you're not easily stirred up. You can step back, and you don't even have to take a big breath, because you know what? You're just cool. Like Jesus, you're just cool. You just walk right through the crowd that wants to throw you over the cliff. Just walk right through that crowd, because you're the daughter of Jesus. You're the daughter of God, so you're not afraid of anybody. They can say anything they want, but you're just cool. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. You're not easily stirred up. Love remains quiet. Love does not allow itself to be easily offended or easily angered. Can you imagine if it did? We would be grease spots. Hello, love is God. He's a person. If God was easily offended with us and easily angered, oh, I'd have been dead along. I'd be in hell right now. I would be sizzling on a spit if God was easily offended, because I have offended him. My gosh, I was ripping pages out of the Bible and rolling joints back in my day. The Bible my mother put in my VW van when I was a hippie, praying for me, and I just ran out of papers one day, and I just took out that little rice paper, and we just ripped out Matthew, and we just rolled it up, and we smoked the word. Your pastor's wife, can you imagine such a thing? If God was easily offended with me, right then there would have been a lightning bolt and I'd have been gone. But God is merciful because God saw me today. He didn't see me then. He knew that the enemy had me then, but oh, God was going to get a hold of me. And when God got a hold of me, he knew that to whom much is forgiven, there is much love. There's not a devil in hell or one loose on the earth that's going to take Jim and I away from the kingdom of God or from God. We can take ourselves away, but there's no power that can take us away from God. I know who my God is. I know what he's forgiven. Love isn't easily riled up. Love can keep her cool when others are hot and bothered. Now, wouldn't you like to have the reputation that when there is strife and there is a ruckus in the family, And you know what families can do. Oh, yeah, I know you know that. So they're going to find you. They're going to call you because they know that you are cool and that you are calm. And they know that when you open your mouth, like a Proverbs 31 woman, the law of kindness and wisdom and counsel is going to come out, giving instruction. See, that's where God wants us to be. Now, maybe we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. Okay, so don't be discouraged. All right, now, let's go through the thing. What do I do when I have been offended? What does the Bible tell me to do? Because offenses are going to come. Now, God says you won't be easily offended, and you can just avoid this completely when you mature yourself in love. When you're not easily offended, when you walk in love, when you don't take into account a wrong suffered, when you got the long fuse, when you believe the best of somebody and not the worst, you just think, oh, they didn't really mean that. I don't think that's what they meant when they said that I was ugly and I needed to lose some weight and that they didn't want to be with me anymore. I don't think they really meant that. Love believes the best. You see, that's where we're going. But if we're not there yet, this is what we do. Okay, so here I'm going to lay it out. Number one. When I have been offended, what does God say for me to do? He says, number one, take responsibility for my own hard actions. Because this is not about what they've done. It's about how I am going to respond. Am I going to create or am I going to react? You with me? It's always about us. It's not about them. You ever notice that when you went to your mom and dad about your brother or your sister and you tattled on them, somehow it got turned around and somehow it came back on you? And you got in trouble for tattling, and it was like, wait, how did that happen? I was a baby, so I was always getting in trouble because I was always tattling, and it would always come back on me. See, this is always about us because you're not responsible for what somebody else does, but I am responsible for what I do. So take responsibility for my own hard actions. James 3:2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So obviously we're not there yet, but we're getting there. So maybe, just maybe, in this offense, somebody's offended you. Maybe did you offend them? Ooh. Moi? Take responsibility for my own heart and pray, which means I go to God. Because when you go to God and pray, he is going to talk to you. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive me my sins, God, as I forgive my debtors. Oh, God, no. I better start forgiving better because I got a lot of sins that you need to forgive me of. And Lord, I'm not doing very good on the other side of this thing. So, we got to forgive. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment because there is a boomerang law here. You don't forgive, you're not going to get forgiven. And if you think you don't mess up with God, you are kidding yourself. We're going to screw up. Now, maybe not big sins anymore, but you know what? I don't see where there's big ones and little ones. My heart is like an onion. It has a lot of layers, and it stinks when it starts getting peeled, and I cry a lot because God is constantly sculpting his image on the inside of me, and maybe what I did last year is not okay for me to do this year. Maybe what I thought last year is not okay for me to think this year because God wants me to grow up. So maybe he tolerated that behavior then, but he's not going to tolerate it now. So this is what it says. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now I want to show you a video, but when I'm going to show you this video, I'm going to lose you. So I'm going to go through this whole thing, and then we're going to see this. It's on forgiveness. We're almost done. Are you all right? You got to pray. Take responsibility for your heart, pray, forgive them. Go to the one who's offended you. If there has really been an offense, now look, you're going to get hurt and people are going to do bad things to you. That really does happen. And God doesn't say, oh, just squish it down and just don't deal with it. Just keep yourself, you know, so you're going to implode someday. That's not healthy. God says, I want you to deal with this. Go to the one that's offended you, but go privately and forgive them before you go. That's why you got to pray first. You got to let God deal with your heart first. Then you got to pray it through. Then you got to release the offense. And then you can go to them. Are you with me? Because if you don't do that, if you go to them, it's going to be World War III, and you know it, and I know it, because you've done it, and so have I. And you just couldn't wait for that man to get home because you were going to tell him he offended you. And oh my gosh, there was World War III. Go to the one who's offended you privately and peacefully. Forgive first before you go to reconcile. That's Matthew chapter 18. Then the next thing to do is to cancel the debt. What does that mean? If that's not possible, identify the person or the offense, write it down, and cancel it. Be very specific. If you can't get to that person, it's too far back or whatever, maybe it's a dad or an ex or a kid or somebody, a friend, and it's just water under the bridge now, but there's still bitterness that you're harboring in your heart, then God says, listen, why don't you write it down? Get with God about this. Write down who you need to forgive. Not who you want to kill, but who you need to forgive. And be very specific. What do you need them? Do you need to forgive them because they did this or they did that? Name it. Write it down. And then take a piece of paper as you're writing this down and take a pen and just write over it when you've written it down and you're specific and just write debt forgiven, canceled. And just exit out and release it. Because you've been forgiven, you can forgive. That releases you and it releases them. But you're the one in prison if you're in unforgiveness. Release them and move on. Romans 12, 18 says, as if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with men. There are going to be relationships in your life that will not be reconciled no matter how hard you work at it. People are just not going to want to be with you. They're not going to want to do life with you. They've left you. They've whatever you, whatever. And you're just going to have to move on now. Because if they don't want to be with you, God will bring people to you in your life that do want to be with you. And he will put you in a family, and he will give you friends, and you will have a new family and a new commitment. But you've got to get rid of the old junk first. Now, if you have caused an offense, if you have offended somebody, now remember, this was if somebody offended you. Now, you've offended somebody. You've done wrong, naughty. Back to the prayer closet. You messed up and your heart convicts you. You know what? You know when you shouldn't have done something. Your heart should hurt. It should go, ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that feeling. I don't like, why did I say that? And then you'd be, you know, anybody ever have any self-loathing? You just, oh, why did I say that? And then you're your worst enemy, beating yourself up. You know, God, why did I do that? The Holy Spirit convicts our hearts. Our spirit has a voice. It's the conscience. Our conscience will not let go of us. And if your conscience isn't bothering you, then you need to get saved. Or you need to repent and get back with the Lord. So number one, take responsibility. Same thing, take responsibility for your own actions. We got to take, it's us, it's about us, it's not about them, it's about us. We got to pray. Now here's a different one. No, it's not, it's the same one. Just pray. You know, forgive. You got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive. Number three, let the word discipline me. So I'm going to prayer. I've got my Bible. Hebrews 12, 7 says, are you with me? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father doesn't chasten? Listen, the word will spank you. God will deal with me through his word. 2 Timothy 3:16, for the word of God is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, that the woman of God, the man of God, may be perfect and complete, wanting in nothing. This book is the manual of heaven to us. It teaches us how to live. When I opened this book, the first time I had a fight with Jim, I opened my Bible, should have never done that, and there I just happened to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there right in front of me was, man was not made for woman, woman was made for man. And it was like, oh, please, God. He is so wrong. And the word instantly began to deal with my heart about my rebellion and my independent spirit. We were newlyweds. I had to learn this. The word will correct us. So, Hebrews 12, 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. It will bring righteousness and fruit to your life, and there'll be peace in your life when you let the word deal with you. Go to the one who has offended you. I mean, who you've offended. Now you're to go to them. Remember, if they offended you, you go to them. Now you've offended somebody. Don't wait for them to come to you. You get to them. Call them or get to them. And ask them for forgiveness. Just say, look, I am so sorry. I misspoke. I meddled where I shouldn't have. I don't know what prompted me to say that, but it, obviously I am convicted in my heart. I feel like I might have hurt you or offended you. And I just want you to know, I was wrong. I am so sorry. And I'm so frustrated with myself. Will you please forgive me? I want to mend this. And I want to be your friend. I want to be your wife. I want to be your sister, whatever relationship it is. You go to them and you make it right. We need to make things right. We live in a world where they've gone off into their corners and we're waiting for the ding and come out, boxing with your whatever it is, these things up, gloves up. Go to them. I was watching Lark Rise to Candleford. It's BBC America, and it's about a little hamlet that, in the 1800s. I mean, they are so polite that I watched all the seasons. It was like there was so much goodness in it, I just wanted to watch it, I liked it because it wasn't, people weren't killing each other and effing each other and, everything else. It was like nudity and, change the channel. Okay, it was clean and it was good and it was wholesome. And I noticed something that happened over and over in this little village. In this village, they would apologize to each other. They would go to each other in the dialogue and they would say, God, I'm so sorry. I was meddling. I should not have done that. They saw themselves and they saw what they had done wrong and they went to that person and apologized. And I thought, wow, we need to do that here. Instead of waiting for somebody to call us, we get on the phone or we get in our little cars and we get our butts over there and we say, man, I shouldn't have said that. And it takes courage to do that. But when you do that, you've now mended the rift. So the bottom line is, girls, we got to forgive. Jesus offended everybody. He offended the world, the Jews, the Gentiles. He offended everybody because he did the will of the Father. You will offend people for righteousness' sake, and I'm not saying to compromise that. You will face persecution as Christians when you do the right thing. There will be offenses that way, but I'm talking about when we mess up. We got to forgive, and we got to let people forgive us, but we got to make it right. Now, I want to show you a video. And this video, it might offend some of you, but I think it gets the message home about forgiveness. So can I have my light monitor turn everything down? And let's watch the video.
Since we have been forgiven, what should be our corresponding action? I'm glad you asked. We should forgive and extend grace to everybody else. No wonder Matthew says, and when you start praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who's in heaven forgive your transgressions. As a Christian, you've got to forgive. Now that said, and please don't get offended, the new F word in the word church is forgive. I'm going to say it again. The new F word in this church is forgive. Now that said, do me a favor, touch your neighbor and say F you. God, I wish I had. God, I wish I had 25 people that say, I forgive you for whatever you said about me. Not just your neighbor. Look down your whole row saying, F y'all too. Go ahead and tell them. You know what, y'all looking at me crazy. Would you do me a favor? Take your phone out. Text all your exes and say, I'm at church. F you. Forgive you for lying on me and talking about me. Pastor, my mama don't like you. Well, F your mama. My family don't like you. F your family too. You know what? Jump on your feet. Snap your fingers. Say, F everybody in here. God, I wish I had 5 people that would jump on your feet and high five 6 people. Say, F you, go ahead, tell them. F you, go ahead. High five somebody else. Say, F you. Yup, F you. Yup, F you. F all y'all. F you. God, I wish I had somebody that would have a little church with me and thank God that he forgave you for all your sins and now you can forgive everybody else.
quickly, do it promptly. Let long suffering grab a hold of you, the long fuse. Don't be easily offended. Make it right when you've done something wrong. Forgive quickly and F you. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? You know what? If we can't laugh at our culture and laugh at life, we're going to take things much too seriously. So if this offended you, I'm sorry. I am. I wouldn't offend your delicate mind for anything. And it might have been a little raw for some of you. But there's a lot of living in this building right now. And there's a lot of living in our city. And it's a rough city. And it's a tough culture. And you know what? God's up to the task. And he wants us to be too. Amen. I love you. Thank you so much. Pastor Eleanor, come tell us what we're going to do.